Okay, the boys, we're beginning a brand new perek, Daf Mem, starting from the top of the Yomid, Zok the Mishnah. We've numerous, many times since the beginning of Masech the Sanhedrin, we talked about the fact this is something known as Chakirois Ubedikois. And now, finally, our Mishnah and our Gemara is going to go into this in much greater detail. What are Chakirois? Chakirois, as we'll see in a moment, are very, very basic, essential questions that you need to find out the basic information about what's going on. And these are very, very important because if it turns out that these Edom are false Edom, we have to be able to pinpoint whether they in fact are Edom Zomimim, that other Edom will come and say, Imanu Hayisem, at this time and this place. So the Mishnah begins, Hayu Boidkin Oysan. We asked the Edom, we were Boidik them, B'sheva Chakiras, with seven major questions. What are those seven? The Ezei Shavua, which, now Shavua I know most people think means a week. Here it really means which Shemitah in the Yovel cycle. Wow. In the time that Yovel was Noheg in Eretz Yisrael, as you know, Yovel is every 50 years, so therefore there's seven Shemitahs during that 50-year period. And then, at the time that the Edom are being made, we ask them, was it in the first Shemitah of that cycle, the second Shemitah, the third Shemitah? So they have to be able to identify which Shemitah of that Yovel cycle. Be'ez Hashana, which year of the Shemitah? In other words, if the Edom had been made, it was, for instance, in the second Shemitah of that Yovel cycle. Okay, but which year in that Shemitah? So then you have to tell them, the second year, the third year, etc. Be'ez Achodesh, which month of the year? Be'kama B'chodesh, which day of the month? Be'ez Yoim, which day of the week? Was it Sunday, Monday, Tuesday? Be'ez Shah, which hour of the day? And finally, Be'ez Mokaim, which place? Where did this take place? So those are the seven questions. If you want to count them up, Shavuah is one, Shon is two, Chodesh is three, Kama Chodesh is four, Yoim is five, six, Shah is six, and Be'ez Mokaim is seven. Rabbi Yossi Oimer, Be'ez Yoim, Be'ez Shah, Be'ez Mokaim. Rabbi Yossi says you don't need seven. Three are the most essential. Be'ez Yoim, which day? Be'ez Shah, which hour? Be'ez Mokaim, and which place? Why does Rabbi Yossi go and cut down on the 7 to 3? Mitchum will see in the Gemara shortly. Now we have left these seven essential Chakiras. And now there are other very important questions, but they're not counted towards the seven Chakiras because the purpose of the seven Chakiras is really to establish if these Edom truly were there in that spot at that time, on that day, in case we can be mazim them by other Edom saying, Imanu Hayisa. So what are the other very important questions? So Rashi says, for instance, if we're talking about Chas V'Sholom, a Maisa Ritzicha, someone killed someone else, so we ask the Edom, Makirim Atem, Oisai, do you recognize the victim? We want to know whether the victim was Ayid, or whether he was an idolater, an Oyved Avodah Zarah. Hisrei Simboi, did you go and give him Hasra, and tell him in advance, Rabbi, if you do this, Chas V'Sholom, your Chas V'Sholom can be liable to Misa. That's when you're talking about a Ritzeach. What happens to the Marshal if you're talking about an Oyved Avodah Zarah? You say to Oyved Avodah Zarah, Esmi Ovad, do you know which Avodah Zarah he was serving? Rashi says, was it the Pa'or? Was it the Marculius? Ubame Ovad, and how did he go and serve that particular Avodah Zarah? Did he just bow down to it? Did he bring a carbon to it? And so on and so forth. So now we're going to leave Chakiris and we go now to Bedikas. Now Bedikas are questions which are not, they don't go to the heart of the issue, they're not the essence, but they are other forms and ways of being able to check whether these two Edom are telling the truth or not. So the Mishnah says, Kalamar Bebetikas, even though there is no set number, but the more that you ask, Arizem Meshubach. The reason why Arizem Meshubach is because we want to try to acquit the person that is being accused of doing a terrible Avera. So the more Bedikas that you ask, the greater the likelihood you'll be able to go and trip up the Edom and have them be contrary to one another, inconsistent with one another, and you'll be able to acquit that individual. And the Mishnah tells us, and we've had this already two or three times in the Gemara so far, Ma'isu bodak ben zakai bi uktzei te'enim. The Ben Zakkai went and he was boidig b'uktzei tzeinim. What means b'uktzei tzeinim? The accused was accused of chas v'sholom killing somebody under a ta'ena tree. Ta'ena tree is a fig tree. So then they asked the two edim, aha, did you notice the figs that were growing on the tree, how they were growing? The uktzim means the stems. Were they thick? Were they thin? And that type of questioning. So if the two edim, one said it was thin and one was thick, so then Ben Zakkai said, okay, they're contradicting each other. Case dismissed, and we're going to go and free the accused. So that's the reason why the Mishnah says it's important to have a lot of bedikos, and Ben Zakkai went really to the nth degree to try to acquit people, if at all possible, and that's why he was boidig b'uktzei tzeinim. What would you like to say?
I just wanted to know, it's not a politically correct question, but when the we asked the edim...
But we'll talk about it later. Ma bein chakiris lebedikos? What's the difference between chakiris lebedikos? Chakiris echad oimer eini yodea, edusim betelim. Bedikos echad oimer eini yodea, vafilishnaim omrim einoni yodim, edusim kayemis. So what's a difference between the chakiris and bedikos? Chakiris echad oimer eini yodea. If one of the two Edom, or both of the Edom say, we don't know, I don't remember what day it was, I don't remember what year it was, I don't remember what mokim it was, then the Edus is automatically batel, because you can't possibly be mazim, and then we have a rule, called Edus she'iyat yochel hazima, ein Edus an Edus. Any type of Edus that is not susceptible to hazama, then the Edus is batel. Here, if he doesn't know which year it was, if he doesn't know which day it was, he doesn't know which month, etc., then the eid is a bottle because there's no way you can be mazim. On the other hand, bedikos echad oimer ein yedeh. If one of them says I don't know, but filishnayim oimer ein oni yodim, they don't know. Eidus and kayamis, eidus is good. If they don't remember, if they don't know what the uktzei te'enim looked like, then we're not going to go and make a fuss. Okay, so you don't know, you don't know. Doesn't really make a difference vis-a-vis the reticha. If chas v'shalom someone's accused of killing somebody and nevertheless somebody who's dead, and we have to call the Chevra Kadisha to go and bury him, whether or not the person killed him under Ta'ina that had thick or thin stems in the Ta'inim, that's of course totally irrelevant and meaningless. So even though Ben Zakkai tried to trip them up, if one of them says, I don't know, if both of them say, I don't know, who cares? So I do some kiyamas. Echad chakiris v'yecha b'dikos b'zman shemachishim zeh, I do some b'teila. Oh. However, if they are, in fact, makhish means that they are contradicting one another. One says that the perpetrator killed him with a sayef, and the other says he killed him, gesundheit.
Thank you.
You're welcome. With a chetz, or instead of with an arrow, with a bullet, or whatever. If you're talking about any type of hakhosha, which is a meaningful hakhosha, eidusam b'teilim. Now let's talk about the months and days that we spoke.
Sorry?
According to Ben, that's what the Mishnah is telling us. Bavik Ben Zakkai be'uktzei tzeinim. If one of them says, I don't know, if both of them say, I don't know, forget about it. If one says, whoever was thick, and the other one says, it was thin, then we have hakosha, and then edusim b'teila. This way he was able to acquit the person that was accused based on, if you will, a legal loophole, because who cares, you're nish. But that was Ben Zakkai, and we're going to talk about that more in the Gemara in Yetzer Shem. Continuing on the Mishnah Vayter, Echad Oyim B'Shnayim B'Chodesh V'Echad Oyim B'Shloisha B'Chodesh. What happens if all the other pieces of information are exactly the same in terms of the year and the date and the day of the week? The only difference was that one says it was the second day of Shvat, and the other one says it was the third day of Shvat. Edus HaKayamis, the Edus is fine. Why? As we know, typically 6 months of the year have 29 days and 6 months of the year have 30 days. So this particular month, one of the two Edom did not know whether they extended the Chodesh an extra day or not. Nowadays it's more or less set in stone in the calendars, but even there, every year is a little bit different. That's why you have a Shana Chaseira and a Shana Shleima. But B'derech Klal, the months are based on a cycle that we know what they are. But in those days, it depended when the Edom came and they said that we saw the new Levana. And if nobody came in time, so then they had to go and extend the Chodesh an extra day. So if you lived in Yerushalayim, then you heard pretty quickly when's Rish Chodesh and when's not Rish Chodesh. What happens if a person lived outside Yerushalayim? Or even if it wasn't Yerushalayim, but he was just too busy and he didn't hear when the new month began. So that's why he said the second or the third. That being the case, it doesn't kayemes because it's within the
tolerance.
Oh, within the tolerance level. Very good. Shkoyach. However, if it was a difference of 2 days, because it cannot possibly be a difference of 2 days. So obviously somebody is lying or somebody is making a big, big boo-boo. And based on that, we have a chosha and the case is dismissed. What happens if they say, one says it happened in 2 hours, the other said in 3 hours? So what does that mean? Typically, when the Mishnah uses that expression, we're starting from a, if you will, a somewhat average day of 12 hours day and 12 hours night. And therefore, we assume that the day began at 6 o'clock and ends at 6 o'clock. So if one says, oh, this murder or this oivet avodah zarah or whatever took place at 8 o'clock, means 2 hours after 6. Or the other one says, and the other one says 9 o'clock. This one says 8, and this one says 9. Eidus and Kayemes. Again, as you said, because this is within the tolerance level that a person thought it was 8 or 9. Basically, he said in the early morning. If one says it was at 9 o'clock, and the other one says at 11 o'clock, says the Tanakama, Eidus and Metela. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kayemes. So the Tanakama says Metela, it's a 2 hour difference, you know, 9 and 11. And Buddha said, no, it's Kayemus. Why did Buddha hold Kayemus? We'll see Mechem on the Omid Beis, the Svar of Rabbi Yehuda. What happens if one says it took place after 5 hours, which means 11 o'clock, the other one says 7, which means 1 o'clock in the afternoon, then everybody agrees, Edusun Betela, even according to Rabbi Yehuda. Why is that? It's only a difference of 2 hours. It's a major difference between the morning and the afternoon. In the morning, we know that the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. So if one says it took place at 11 o'clock, he must have, we're assuming most people didn't have watches, hand watches at that time. So they looked up to the Shemayim to see what's going on. So if one said that he saw the sun that day, it wasn't a cloudy day, it was a sunny day. So if it was at 5 hours, which means 11 o'clock, then the sun would still be on the eastern side of the horizon. The other one says it was after 7 hours, it would be on the western side of the horizon. There's an obvious major difference between the two. So everybody would agree, Eidus and Metela. This is what they asked the first aide, all of these questions. After he was done, we set him aside, put him in another room, and we brought in now the second aide. And now we ask him all the same questions that we asked the first aide. If what they both said was mechuvan, in other words, they both said the same. So now, when the aidus portion is over, and now the deliberation portion begins, so now when the dayanim talk to one another, the first thing they do is, they say that if this person did not do this terrible crime, then Amiyat Hashem, he'll be acquitted and everything will be good. So they especially start off on a positive note, not Chas V'Shalom to convict, but hopefully to acquit. Amar Echemen Eidim. Now the next two lines we had already in the Gemara before. Amar Echemen Eidim, Yeshli Lelamed Olav S'chus. What happens if one of the Eidim that testified that this person was a perpetrator, and that in fact he did Avodah Zarah, or he did Ritzicha, or Chil Shabbos, whatever it was. Now he says, I want to be Melamed Chus on him, or Echem and Talmidim Sheesh Lamed Olav Choyva, one of the Talmidim that's sitting nearby, listening to the whole discussion, says, I have a good argument, L'choyva, for conviction. Meshask and Oisei, in both of those cases, were Meshasik. Now, in the case of the Talmidim that wants to go and be Lamed Choyva, I can understand why Mishasken Oisai, because after all, he's not one of the rabbinical panel, he's just a Talmid, and therefore, I don't need more voices to go and throw in reasons for conviction. After all, Vitzilo Eida, we're trying to go and save the person, we're not trying to go and convict him. So therefore, that's understandable. But when one of the Eidim says, Yesh Lamed Olav Schus, Why do we say Mishaskan Oisai? So you remember we had a machlokes about this about 10 days ago in the Gemara. The Gemara quoted this. And the Gemara said that according to the Tanakhama that holds over here, that if the Eid wants him Olam Mitzchus, why Mishaskan Oisai? Because we're afraid that he's trying to go and cover up for himself. Meaning that perhaps he is a false aid. Maybe somebody paid him to go and say false testimony. And now he is worried, uh-oh, what happens if two aidim come in and say, Imanu Hayisim in Chicago? Ay, ay, ay. So what's going to happen then? What happens if... Sorry?
Kasher Asa, the Sulahem Kasher Asa.
Kasher Zomali Kasher Asa. So what's going to happen then? Says the Gemara that then he's Chasher Shalom, what he might get Chuli the death penalty for saying false testimony. So he says to himself, it's not worth the $100 that I got to go and testify falsely if Chasher Shalom, I'm putting myself possibly at the peril of death. So what does he do? He immediately tries to go and say schusim. It could be maybe I didn't see so well, maybe, you know, maybe he didn't realize, maybe it was a show gig, who knows, maybe he didn't hear the hasra. He tries to find various excuses because he's hoping with that person is going to then, the case will be dismissed and he has nothing to worry about, because the only time that you go and chas v'shalom go and go and do the kasha zomam to the edim zomim, if there is a verdict that person is guilty and they have not followed up, they haven't executed yet. So 3 o'clock in the afternoon, they say that the person is guilty. Let's take him now, so to speak, to the gallows, take him to his misa. And during that interim period, two edim come in and say, this was edim zomim, these were edim zomim. And if they can prove they're edim zomim, then we're going to go to them, what they wanted to do to the original person that was accused. So he's nervous about that. So to take away his nervousness, he's trying to go and find various excuses for that accused behavior. And he'll continue, therefore, to get the benefit of his false testimony. That means, presumably, whatever money is being paid. But at the same time, he won't have to worry about that his own neck is on the ringer over here, because he will try to defend. That's why he says, Mishnah, Mishaskanoi, said, we will not listen to him, zero. Now what happens, Omer Echemen HaTalmidim, Yesh Li Lamed Olav Schus, you have a Talmud that's sitting there, and he says, I have a good reason for acquittal. Then Malinoi say, then we raise him from his semicircle of 23 Talmidim, and we upgrade him temporarily. Moishivin Oysa Beinayim will add another chair to the 23 of the Bezin, and we'll listen to him and say, no, no Vajokte, explain to us what's the basis of the Schus. V'loyoyred Misham Kala Yoyim Kulai, and the whole day we would keep him there in a mechubadika place after we listened to his argument and to his the reason why he feels that the person should be acquitted. We'll leave him there. And if in fact there is mamash shemilai, we will take account of what he's saying and listen to him carefully. What happens if the accused says, I have a good reason why I think you should be melamed zchus? All to shayman lai, we'll listen to him as well. But only if he's talking, you know, sense, he's talking things which are rational, not just a pie in the sky. If ultimately, after all the deliberations, we're able to find a good reason why he should be acquitted, patrul, ketzahayim gizuntayt. What happens if, unfortunately, things do not look so rosy? And you have, for instance, like the Morris talked about before, you had 12 against 11, 12 holding that he is l'choyve, 11 l'schus, but you can't go and execute based on one person majority. So therefore, we do the halona sadin, and we say, Rabbi Yisai, let's sleep over it, and we'll come back tomorrow. But in the interim, we encourage that the dayanim should go out in pairs, lav dafkin pairs. You can have three or four as well. And the point is that these two or three dayanim, after the official deliberations are over and they're getting the night off, they should continue discussing the case among themselves so that perhaps the mezakin can go and win over the mechayvin. So we encourage that they should continue discussing and deliberating after hours. Moreover, because this is very serious business, we tell them to go and cut down on food, and they wouldn't go and drink. We give them an opportunity to be noise and deliberate the entire night. And the next day they come back into Bezdin. If he still feels l'schus, he says ani mezake. And I haven't budged. And I'm still with the old svar that I have of yesterday. That's, of course, if that is the case. Obviously, if they change their mind, it's different. But if they are still hold their position of yesterday, they go and repeat it again, and I'm still strong. Now, Malamed Choyva, the one that said, I was Malamed Choyva yesterday, Malamed Schus, he can change his mind, because after all, we're looking for acquittal, and we're looking for schusim. Ava Malamed Schus, the one that says, I was Malamed Schus yesterday, and Yochel Lachzer Ulalamed Choyva, at this point in the trial, he cannot change his mind and say, L'choyva. You remember, however, we had Rav that told us earlier on, a few blad ago, that when we come to the verdict stage, the voting stage, then even the Malamed Schus can change his mind to Choyva. But during the deliberation stage, they all have to stay with their positions, except that the Choyva people can go and change to Schus. Zog the Mishnah Baita, Tov B'davar, if one or more of them are starting to be Toa, in other words, he said, well, last night I said L'schus, and he once repeated, and what was the position, and he made a boo-boo. Because last night, in fact, he said L'choiva, or he said a different position. Then Shnei Sefer HaDiyon HaMaskir and Oysoi. Then the two Sofrim, remember we had two Sofrim, one Madiyam HaHolta, there were three Sofrim. They wrote down all of the Tainis, both L'schus and L'choiva, and we asked them, can you take out your stenography records and tell us what Rabbi Smith said yesterday, and is that consistent with what he's saying today? So ultimately, after everything is said and done, if we found the schus, so that the dayanim in agreement, yes, let's go and free and acquit the fellow, but true. The imlav, if however there was not a reason to acquit, but there's still a difference of opinion, oim de laminyan, now we come to the verdict and the voting stage. Avad, if you have 12 that are mezaka, even though it's only a majority of one, he goes out free. But if it's shnayim osam mechayven, the achad osam mezakin, if it's 12 that are mechayven, and one is mezaka, vafil achad osam mezakin, the achad osam mechayven. What happens if you have 11 against 11, the echad oimer ein yedea, and one says, I don't know, I'm not sure. Can you imagine we have 22 all lined up, unanimous 22, saying Zakai or Choyva. The other one says, I don't know. You have to go and add the Yonim. Even though there's really no purpose in adding the Dayanim, because we already have 22 in one direction, even if the other two say, well, we believe the other way, it'll be 22-2. Nevertheless, that's fine. However, if you have only the Echad Eini Yodea, it doesn't work. Why doesn't it work? Says Rashi, because the Torah requires a Bezin of 23. If he says Eini Yodea, he disqualifies himself, and we're now down to a Bezin of 22. Bezin of 22 is not a kosher Bezin.
But if everybody say that he was guilty of 22, and
it's absolute
Eini Yodea, they should let him go free, because he's like almost 23.
I mean,
not a unanimous...
One second. Are we talking about Zakai or we're talking Chayev?
No, Chayev. Okay, if the 23 say he's Chayev, he goes free.
If all 23 say he's Chayev.
Right.
Okay, that was, they had a Shaila about that.
Tosfos HaRoshi
said, yes, that's right. Okay, but there is a Gemara earlier that says if all 23 say Lechiyov, then Poitrin Oisai. The Poshib Shat Poitrin Oisai means he goes home free. Because that nobody could find the Shtikl Schuz. Goes home. However, what Barry just said is the Tosfos HaRosh and other Rishonim disagree, and they say Poitrin Oisai, that means we end the case at this point and we'll let it go to the next day, or even if we do it now, Poitrin Oisai means not that we pater him that he's excused and acquitted, but means that the case is over because this person has been found guilty because there's been unanimity. 23 of all agreed. So there's a machloikis in that Gemara. Here, the problem over here is not the vote. The vote is fine. It's clearly 22 against 0, and that 23rd was abstaining. The reason why we have to be Moisef Dayanim, says Rashi, because you cannot have a Bezdin constituted with only 22. The minimum for Bezin is 23. And since one of them says, Eini Yedea, he's disqualified. It's as if he's saying, I'm out of here. He left the Bezin Shtibel, and therefore we need a 23rd. We don't add one, we always add two, for purposes so that just in case there was a difference of opinion of one, we always have enough to go and cover.
We had the same thing with Dini Mamonos when we had three and one says, I don't know. Mm-hmm. We can't say, oh, it's like a Bezin Chatzuf, mm-hmm. because the original court case was impaneled a court of three.
See, even Shmuel holds. That's
right,
correct.
And even Shmuel said Bezin Chatzuf is Bezin Shakol is considered Bezin Chatzuf. Mm-hmm. He even agreed that, yes, if you impanel three, you have to have three on the court. Otherwise, they can't render a verdict.
Exactly right. 100% right. So if you look at the Rashi, Shneim Osir Mechayvin, the Achad Osir Mezakin. This Rashi is 3, 6, 9 lines from the bottom, the beginning of the line. Shneim Osir Mechayvin, the Achad Osir Mezakin. 12 against 11. Va'atiyoscha alpi Echad L'ro'a, and if you were taking the majority vote, it would be one vote more L'ro'a L'chayva. Lesser. That is not acceptable. Hilkach Yisif HaDayan, we have to add two, because for purposes of being Mata L'ro, you have to have a minimum of two in the majority. And Afilu Eser Mishnayim Mezakin Oyim Mechayiv, and even if you have 22 that say all together on Mas, Schus or Chayiv, V'yachar Oyim Ein Yedeh, one says, I don't know. Yisif HaDayan, we have to add two more. The Haidi Omer Ein Yedeh, Keman Dalas Adami, it's as if he doesn't exist. He's invisible. They don't need a fashionly the schus lechayva. The pachas may esrim ushleishus. Even though the outcome seems to be very certain, 22 are all lined up in one direction. Nevertheless, you cannot paskin unless you add two more daya. Continuing on the Mishnah,
kamei sifin,
kamei sifin, shnayim shnayim ad shem yechad. You add two and more. And another two, and another two, and another two, until you get to 71, if necessary. Meaning, what happens if you started off with 12 against 11? So we said, well, you cannot go and decide a case l'choiva based on 12 against 11. So we've added now two more. So now, if the two more are both l'choiva, then we're fine, then we have 14 against 11. If we add the two to the schus, so now we have 13 against 12. So that's all great. But what happens if both of them
split.
So now we have, instead of 12 against 11, I have now 13 against 12. So you have to be moist of another two. And if you have the two going in one side or the other, it's great. But what happens if they split? So then we're going to have a 26 against 25. And so on and so forth. How long will we keep on adding 2, 2, 2, 2? Until we reach 71. Which means that we would have to go and add 24 pairs of new Dayanim. You start over 23, you add 48, and altogether you get to 71. Now what happens if you got to 71 and now you're still in the same pekel? Shloishim ushishishim zakin, shloishim achamishim achayvin, 36 against 35, and zakin, that's easy. You have a majority of one, it's fine. However, shloishim ushishishim achayvin, shloishim achamishim zakin, we still have one more lechoiva over l'schus, and I still don't have a majority of two. You have to continue on and being done again and again and again until one of the mechayvin joins the mezakin side and says, Rashi, v'hu adin, if you have one of the mezakin joining the mechayvin side.
Once they vote the zakai, they can't switch the chayvin.
No, they vote, they can.
They vote, if they voted for zakai, they're kind of stuck in their place, aren't they? So you have the 35 of the 71 have said acquit. They can't switch now to convict. Only the ones voting for conviction can switch to acquittal. The mechayvin can only switch. It's a one way travel. So how can we say it's both ways?
According to Rav, once you're in the verdict voting stage, you can go and change your mind.
Okay,
even from schus
l'chayva. Okay.
So even though our Mishnah only gives the one possibility, Achira echad min mechayvin divra mezakin, he can go and switch his vote from chayva to schus. Says Rashi, the same thing applies. That the schus man can change l'chayva. Why doesn't our Mishnah mention that? Because our Mishnah is only looking for schusim. Lishna ma'al yinokat. If you want to look at the Rashi. Chira echam and mechayim and tivim mezakin. It's six lines from the bottom. Deka toyu l'toyu al pi eid echad. Now you have, if one of the mechayim joins the mezakin, you'll have one aid more on the other side. V'huadin. Emira Echman a Mazakinist, Ibrahim Machaivin, the Havalush Loishim, the Shiva Machaivin, if one of the Mazakin leaves, until now it was 36 against 35, 35 were the Mazakin people. Now, this Mazakin now leaves the 35 and he goes over to the other side. Now we have 37 Machaivin. Now he got Toilet Rual, Piashloisha. Unfortunately, now we have Pshas Kamardin. Ha'ukimna, the Afam Lamet Chus, Yochel Lachzer Ulamet Choiva, just like we learned earlier on that we've been referring to, that during the Gemar Din stage, a Chus person can change his vote, Lachoiva. I vote an Hochi, so why does our Mishnah only give the example? Chiyere Echem and Chayvin, Dirim Mazakin, why does it say, Oi Echem and Ha Mazakin, Yere Dirim Chayvin? Mishamalishna Ma'aliya, that's Chus Kamahada. We always try to go and use Chus instead of Chayva. When the Gemara had a similar question, why does the Mishnah only use the term that maybe things will turn up schus? Why doesn't it say Lechayva? Because we don't want to say Lechayva. It's like Al Tiftach Pel Lesotin. We don't want to say anything that can go wrong. Even today, when Chas V'Shalom, somebody says something about something that happened, they always add Chas V'Shalom. Why do you say Chas V'Shalom? Because you want to be very careful about what you say, that bad things should not occur. Now that we finished the Mishnah, yes, sir.
Do they take the vote? Do they take it secret or they raise hands?
No, public.
I assume it's public, but maybe.
So Rav said they announce it from the junior member, so that the senior member doesn't intimidate the junior ones to follow him. They don't. So they do it public. It's a public vote. It's not a. It's not secret ballot.
When we say public, do we mean in front of the?
No, in front of the
court. The Bezdin himself.
Right.
Okay.
But that's.
Well, so they have these deliberations, you say that they can switch, or they have the counting, then they can't. But
it's the other way around. During the deliberations, they cannot switch from schus to choiva. Right. The time of the voting, then they can go and switch their vote.
But there, anybody that you have, people can listen to the trial, or only the dayanim?
Not in a blasphemy trial. That's maybe an exception, but most trials it is open to the public, isn't it?
So then you know which judge is voting in favor.
Sure you do.
We have another Gemara that says that you're not supposed to say, I voted this way and I voted this other way.
That's a good question.
So it appeared that they did not, the deliberations were not open to the public, nor the voting, only at the time of the issuance of the final verdict.
Right.
Remember, we had a three-way machloike, where the one said all the names of all the rabbis that said in favor and those that said against, or they just said that there was a vote 3-2, 2-1, whatever it was. And the other one said, from all of this mizdake blaini, he wouldn't go and say exactly, they would just say from, as a result of this trial, this person was found guilty, was found innocent. Without saying, by using that expression, kind of, if you would just simply say that the person is zakeh or chayv, it might sound like it was unanimous. Since we don't want the mechse kishikra, therefore we go and say that as a result of the deliberations and the trial and the proceedings and all the evidence, this person was declared zakeh. So therefore you're suggesting that maybe in fact it was not unanimous, but rather there was
right,
a difference.
It was not open.
If there were deliberations and they take a position for Chova, or either way, but they're not very counted yet, so what does it mean they can switch? I mean, they're deliberating, but there's no clear vote yet. They're deliberating. So how does that mean?
You don't advance further arguments for conviction. If you have a suggestion, if you say, here's a good point to convict the guy, and I can add to it, but then you don't say it, you withhold your thought.
If you're innocent,
on the other hand, I think this, you can't say that. You're saying once he took a position, not voted, but you say, brought us a malamit schus, you can't then malamit chov. Is that what we're saying? They can't. If you're very careful how they choose their words.
Absolutely. Somebody's life is in their hands.
Yeah, but it's not a vote yet.
You're 100% right. That's right. During the discussion period, the Mishnah said, "Hamalamet choyv malamet chus." The one that until now was malamet choyv can change his position. Hamalamet chus, the one that has been giving arguments l'schus to acquit the fellow, and yachalachzul malamet choyv. During that period of time, we don't want him to persuade other people to go and jump on the bandwagon to convict. So, if you have any thoughts about conviction, keep them to yourself. And then we do our initial sense of the rabbis. What do they think? If we get the sense from them that we're going to go l'ptur, okay, so add it all up, he's acquitted. But if the sense of it is unfortunately that it's going to be l'choiva, we take our vote, and then we say, no, we can't decide it tonight, we have to decide it tomorrow. And the next day when they continue the deliberations, again, they're not allowed to change their vote from schus, now when I say vote, their position from zakai to chayiv. But now after everybody has once again aired his position, and everybody has said yes, no, or maybe so, okay, Rabbi Yisai, now it's time to vote. At that voting stage, even the zakai person is allowed to change his mind, l'chayiv. Zokimar, we start off the Mishnah that there are seven chakiris. Where do you take this from? Omri of Yudah Makra. I have three psukim. Now these three psukim are here in the Torah Or HaShalem. The first pasuk is talking about Ir HaNidachas. The second pasuk is talking about a person who is Oyved Avoid Zara. And the third case is talking about Eidim Zoymimim. And in each case, the Torah uses an expression, V'chokarta or V'darashta. And based on that, we're going to add up the number of terms used and determine that we have seven chakiris altogether. So the Yomakra, the first pasuk is talking about Ir HaNidachas. It says, V'derashta, V'chakarta, V'sha'alta heitev. So how many expressions do we have? We have three. Derashta is one, Chakarta is two. Sha'alta, says Rashi, is not a pointed chakira. It's just kind of a generic term, we're going to ask questions, so that doesn't mean a chakira, but it says she'alta heitev, oh heitev, that's already very specific. So therefore those three terms, derasha, chakarta, and heitev, tells us three questions. V'oimer, and now we get to a private individual that did avoid the zara, v'hu gad l'chav v'shamata, v'derashta, heitev, again two expressions of derashta and heitev, we had now three, now two, three plus two is five. V'oimer, and now when we're talking about the parish of Edom Zomimim, Vidor Shua Shoiftim Heitev. Oh, Drisha and Heitev, that's two more, seven altogether.
But Heitev is also, if you're counting Heitev now, mm-hmm. then you should have two more Heitevs from the other two Pesukim.
We are counting each one of the Heitevs. First boss.
We have Drasha Vachakarta Vishalta.
Okay, so as we said before, Sha'alta is not considered to be a Lashon of Chakira.
Thank you.
It's considered to be a generic. Weak
and
term.
Therefore, it's not counted. Thank you.
But heitev is an adjective. It's good, no?
The point of saying that it's good is to say that we ask good questions, starker questions, not just kind of, what do you think about Trump or what do you think about the Yankees? No. We're talking very direct. Tell me, what day of the week? No fumfening. Was it Sunday? Was it Monday? Was it Tuesday? So you have to do it heitev. V'drash v'chakar to heitev is three altogether. V'derashta heitev is another two. Three plus two is five. V'dorsha shoytem heitev, again, dorsha and heitev, is seven altogether. Freitimar, v'yema, chodachodach yikasivna. Since you saw that there are differences in the number, also differences in terminology, maybe we should say that the first one, which is Ir HaNidachas, is taka only three chakirois. Avodah Zarah, perhaps, is only two chakirois. And Enim Zomim perhaps is two chakiris. How do you know to add them all together? So tomorrow, Be'im Echad Echad Tirachsiva Ni'im Kein. Because if you hold that every time you always need seven, Lechtevinu Rachmanu B'chadah. Why didn't the Kadosh Baruch Hu put all seven together in one parsha and learn all the parshas from there? Everything more. Kimin the Kulu Bahadi Hadodi Ksiva Mehadodi Yalfi. That the Lashon HaGemara makes it sound as if since all three are together in the same parsha, one after the other. However, if you looked carefully, you'll see that all three of them were in three different places. Go back to the Amud Aleph and you look at the Torah Or HaShalem. The first one was Devarim Yud Gimel. The second one was Devarim Yud Zayin. And the third one was Devarim Yud Tes. So they're not Bahadi Hadodi. They are scattered, if you will, in Sefer Devarim. That being the case, what's he more saying? Kim the Kul Bahadi Hadodi Kasiva. So in fact, there's another Girsa, not Bahadi Hadodi, but Kim the Kulu Ki Hadodi Ksiva. What means Ki Hadodi? Since it's all written in the same type of terminology, even though they're not exactly the same wording, but since they are more or less the same, Me Hadodi Yalfi, we're going to learn one from the other. And that's how Rashi learns, even though the Girs and the Rashi is like our Gemara. But if you see at the beginning of the narrow lines, Umeshani Kim the Kulu Badi Hadodi Ksiva Ki Me Hadodi Yalfinan, Kloima, Kim the Bekulu Kosav Behu, the bow Derisha, Each one of them says, Yinei Adrisha. V'hishva oisan loham milza. And the Torah was mashva, they talked about the heitev. Al korachach mi'adodi alfin, and we learn one from the other. Litei des amishol zeh b'zeh. And therefore we do add them up. We don't say it's 3, 2, and 2, but we say it's a total of 7 each time.
It's perfect gzeir shava. I mean, heitev. You have the exact same word.
Guess what? The Gemara is going to say this gzeir shava in another 5 lines. Okay. But at the moment, we're not up to the gzeir shava stage. At the moment, we are at this stage of using logic and common sense. Why are we adding up 3 plus 2 plus 2 and not saying each one is only 3, only 2, only 2? Says Rashi, since all of them require drisha, it makes sense that they're all written more or less the same, and therefore they should be added up. Zokti Mora, second line. Kivin de kulu b'hadi hadodi, or ki hadodi ksiva, mi hadodi yalfi, learn one from the other. The kivan de yalf mi hadodi, since we learn one from the other, kiman de ksiv b'chod adami. So therefore we deem it as if all 7 are said together in one pasuk. But there are fundamental differences. What are the fundamental differences? Simen, polat, saif, hasra. We're going to show that each one of them is different than the other two. Irani dachas. The first one was irani dachas, where you have that requirement of the 3. It's not the same as the other two, the avodah zarah and the case of enam zamen. Why should kain mamoinan polat? Because the other two, the din is that there is no effect on the mamon, on the property. It's only by irani dachas that it says a mamoinan ovad, that you have to destroy anything. The sarafta, you have to go and burn everything, ba'esh. The whole town, the whole city, the gam samaisa, everything has to be destroyed. So therefore, irani dachas is much more chomor. So what does he mean to go and say that it's different than those others that came mamoinan palat? So Rashi says that the purpose of all of these chakirois is to try to find a method to go and acquit this individual, or a mechanism to acquit. We ask so many kashas, if he just messes up on one of them, the Edusa Metela, says our Mishnah. So that's why we try to go and give him another chance to mess up by asking more questions and more questions. Maybe that's only by the 2 other cases of Avodah Zarah and Edom Zamamim, which don't rise to the level of Irni Dachas. Irni Dachas is much more chomor. Why is it much more chomor? She came a moinan. There, the moinan is not palat, but all the moinan is ovad. It's all destroyed. Since it's so chomor, maybe we won't go and give them so many opportunities to go and mess up. And therefore, says Rashi, among the 7, maybe we would go and split it up. But if there's a case that comes to Bezel, which is Avodah Zarah case, or an Edom Zomim case, we're going to ask them 4 chakiros. Maybe they'll mess up. But when it comes to Irni Dachas, we're not going to wait for 4 opportunities. We're just going to go and do the 3. And therefore, hopefully, these 3, they're going to do it perfectly. And we're going to be able to convict the people of Irni Dachas, because we're very angry at them. They went the whole city doing Avodah Zarah. And the Torah says, Mamoinim Ovad. Since it's so much chomer, we're not going to give 7 opportunities for the Edom to mess up. Maybe only give him 3 opportunities. That's if Irni Dachas alone. Now we have the other 2. Avodah Zarah lahanachtati loidamya. It's not the same as the other 2. Shekein b'sayev. Because you're talking about the others are b'sayev. Avodah Zarah, one individual does Avodah Zarah, he gets skila. That's much more chomer. Irni Dachas, everybody there is b'cherev, b'sayev. Now, the Gabi, the din of the Edom Zomim, truth be told, Edom Zomim depends on what the case is all about. It could be a momentous case. It could be a capital case. If they try to go and give skilim, then they get skil. If they try to give this raif, it be raif. So, Rashi and Tosis and all the Rishonim, Muchenzach on this Gemara, that it says, Shekein b'sayev. So Rashi says, because the Loshen of the Pasuk in the Parsha of Edom Zomim is Nefesh b'nefesh, ayin b'ayin. So nefesh b'nefesh sounds like it's talking about a case of a reitzeach. And if you're talking about a case of a reitzeach, then there would not be a din of skila. There would only be a din of sayiv. That's one pshat. Another pshat, says Rashi, is that since Edom Zomim covers the waterfront, so the waterfront, in other words, any case, it's a kashazomim, whatever they wanted to do, last of the achiv. And since one of the 4 possibilities is sayav, so we're saying there it's lighter than avodah zarah, because avodah zarah is the top one on the chart. it gets skila. Mashen kol the others are saya for perhaps even less. And that's why they're not the same. That's why there the Torah is giving us five opportunities by giving five chakirais, the three that are by the irei zachas, the two that you have by the edem zamen. Five times we're seeing, we give another opportunity for them to either forget or to make a mistake or to be inconsistent because we're trying to go and acquit. However, the case of a person doing an avodah zarah, which is so chomor that he gets skila, maybe we only give him two opportunities for the edom to mess up. And that's why there are only two chakiris and not all seven. And edom zomim lahanach ta'arti lo idamya. Edom zomim is not like the other two. Shekein tzrichim hasra. Every other is in the Torah, you have to go and give hasra. Edom zomim, you don't give hasra. Now why don't you give edom zomim hasra? Because edom zomim, they try to go and kill the accused. And when they tried to kill the accused, which means by their dibur in Bezin, they didn't give hasra to the accused and say, don't do this. Obviously they didn't because the whole thing is baloney. They're Edom Zomim. So since they tried to kill someone else without giving hasra, we're going to go and kill them without giving hasra. Meaning when the Edom Zomim testified in Bezin, we didn't say, by the way, if it turns out that you happen to be Edom Zomim, then you're going to go and get the same thing that you're trying to go and get. We don't do that. So that being the case, Edom Zomim is in that sense more chomer than the other two. That being the case, maybe it's not necessary to go and have all seven chakiris, only the two chakiris that you have there in the pasuk, because if they mess up on those two, we're going to go and convict them and kill them. Because these are really bad guys.
That's a great way to intimidate the Edom, is to say, if you are not telling the truth, and you're...
I agree with you, but you
didn't... I'm surprised we say we don't give them Asra, mm-hmm. when we should give them Asra, and the Asra is fantastic, because it intimidates people to say, you're testifying in a capital case for which you might pay the penalty you're trying to inflict.
Yeah, but it might be so intimidating you're never going to find an aid that's willing to testify.
But that's a great way to equip people.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, exactly.
I know. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, so bottom line is
that anyway, that was well known, and that's why they tried to malami tzchus when they shouldn't be. It was obviously a well known. Apparently, it was well known.
What's in the Torah?
Pardon?
It's in the Torah.
It is in the Torah, right?
So, getting back to our Gemara. So because we have these strong svaras, lakan and lakan, to say that one of the three is more chomer than the other, so just to simply put together 2 + 2 + 3 and say have 7, says Yigmar, that's a little bit difficult. And therefore, says Yigmar, and this is what Barry already thought about 5 minutes ago, behetev, hetev, yalfina mihadodi, we're going to learn it from a gzeira shava. All three psukim say the word hetev, so let's use a gzeira shava. Anytime you have a gzeir shava, it's got to be mufna. Mufna, as you know, means that the word has to be superfluous. We didn't need the word. And a gzeir shava mufna. Di loy mufna, ikalim ifrach. If you don't have the mufna, then you have the pirchois that we just asked a moment ago. How can you go and say that we're going to learn that all of them have 7? After all, irni dachas has the chumra that memoinim ovad. The avodah zarah has the chumra that it's miskila. And the Edom Zomim have the Chumrah that there's no din of Asra. So that being the case, Zokti Gemara, since if it's not Mufna, then you have those Pirchas. So you have to find that it's Mufna. So to Malai, Afnu Yom Mufna, it is Mufna. Why? Meaning, if you go back to the three Pesukim on the Amid Aleph, the first Pasuk said, the Durashtu V'chokarta. That's a nice way of saying, be doresh and be choker, you know, really, you know, pound them with strong questions, these questions of the chakiris. Now, the second and the third psukim, what do they say? Instead of v'drash of chakarta, it says v'drash to heitev. The third psuk says v'dorshu heitev. Why didn't you use the term of v'drash of chakarta, which sounds like, I don't even remember, Bill already asked 10 minutes ago, the heitev is... I think you said it's an adjective or whichever way you described it, but it's certainly not a verb of v'drash v'chakarta, it's just a heitev. So why didn't the Torah use the same v'drash v'chakarta Yeah, it's good.
Advert.
It was not an advert. So why didn't it go? Thank you very much. So the question is, why didn't it say Vidarash Bechakar to all three times? But the fact that the Torah changed it to Heitev, then that Heitev becomes, if you will, Mufna. And therefore we can go and learn the Gzeir Shavu. Pray Timura, Vakati Mufna Mitzad Echadu. It's got to be Mufna. Here, of course, there are three separate psukim, but he means to say it's got to be mufna everywhere. It's not enough to just be mufna on one, in this case, two out of the three. Right, like we said a moment ago, it could have said drisha v'chakira, and instead it says heitev and heitev, shvach. That's why we can learn out, that's why it's mufna, and that's how you can learn out the gzeir shavah. And the dachas may have the mechtev. Haksiva kulu. It already said the darashta v'chakarta. Okay, what more could it have done? So then it adds on the heitev. So therefore, it's not mufna. So v'rei timor oi bazoi, you cannot learn the gzeir shava. So timor aladin dach may have l'mechdev. So timor haksiva matoshen geshrim the darashta v'chakarta. So timor kulu hasem nami or haksiva kulu hasem nami afnu yimufna. Even by irin dach it's also mufna. But have l'mechdev doresh tidroish. A chokar tachkar. Why does it go v'shani krabi dibure, putting in the word heitev? Shema mina lefnuye. All three of them are considered to be, if you will, extra or superfluous. Not that we don't need them. We do need them, of course. Otherwise, we don't have the seven. But the fact that the Torah changes the lashon from what you would normally expect, you normally expect adorish tidroish or chokar tachkar, by putting the word heitev, Kodesh Baruch Hu is giving you a very good word, a heitev word, to be able to go and say that it's all mufna. Now that's all very good so far for the two misois that these three require. Now what are the first two? Number one, irni dachas, that's a saif. The second one is avodah zarah, that's skila. The edim zomim really is a variable. So now the question is, but how do I know the other two? The other two being Sreifa and being Chenek. Maybe there is no din of Sheva Chakirais. And our Mishnah says that you always have Sheva Chakirais in all capital cases. So, Frey Timara, V'asu Nechnokim, V'kav V'choymim min Niskolim, U'min Herogin, V'asu Nisravim, V'kav V'choymim min Niskolim. So the others we're going to have to learn Mitakal V'choymim. What's the Kal V'choymim? Chenek, as you know, is the lowest on the totem pole of the Arba Mises Bezen, right? Skila Sreifa Herig V'chenek. That's the lowest. We're going to learn a kal v'choymim in the skolim u'mineherogin. The madach, these really big ticket items, niskolim, skila, nerogin, those that get herring, which means getting sayav, madach there, we're going to try to get them off the hook by giving seven chakiris, and if you mess up on one of them, hey, do some betela. So then, certainly nechnokim, which is more kal, we're certainly going to want to go and try to acquit the individual. That's how I know chenek. V'yosin nisrafim, v'kav v'chayim miniskalim. So sreifa is in between, as you know, skila and hereg. So we won't be able to go and learn it from the lower ones. We'll be able to learn it from the more chomer. And we'll say, if skila, the Torah is trying to give this person really bad, he's going to get skila. If we give seven opportunities to try to wipe out the case and acquit him, then certainly nisrafim, which is not as bad, then certainly we're going to try to go and acquit him. He didn't do such a terrible avli, only getting sreifa, not skila. So since that works l'chari, these kal v'chaymes. But hanich l'rabban the army skila chamura. As we know, there's a machlekes between Rabban and Reb Shimon. We're going to have more about that later in the Masechta. And that is, which is more chamur? Is it the skila or is it the sreifa? We, of course, say skila, sreifa, erig v'chanek, as we have in the Shemoneh Esrei on Yom Kippur. What happens, whoever could, Reb Shimon would have a different art scroll version of the machzer, and he would have sreifa skila herig v'chenek, or say chenek and herig is also a faket. But that's not necessary for our gemara. Sometimes extraneous things only confuse people. Anyway, hanich l'rabban the amri skila chamura. That's if you hold skila as mochamer. And Reb Shimon, the yom sreifa chamura, mayikalameimer, how are we going to know that sreifa is the same din of the sheven chakirois, of the sheva chakirois? Elomer of Yehuda, v'nei emes nochen, v'nei emes nochen. Oh, you have these words, v'nei emes nochen. Where do you have that? If you look at the Torah HaRashalim, v'derash v'chakart v'sha'alta heitev, that's of course the first blessing that we brought, Lagabe the ir hani tachas b'nei emes nochein. Oh, so you have emes nochein. Then you have the second pasuk. V'hu gad l'chav v'shemata v'derashta heitev. That's the Rashi Heitev is talking about the Avodah Zarah. V'nei emes nochoin ha'dover. Nesuah te'eva ha'zois b'Yisrael. V'yitzeis is isha hu, is isha hi, etc. And you give him skila. Anyways, in both of these cases, it says the words emes and nochoin. And the Gemara assumes, how do you find out that this is emes v'nochoin? By asking chakirais. That being the case, we have to add now two more for the emes and nochoin, which you have by iridachas. We have to add two more that you have by Avodah Zarah. And now we get to a list of 11, not just 7, we got 11. I don't know what the other 4 are yet, but that's not important. The point is that we now have Hochad Srei, we have now 11. From the 11, we're going to now do a little bit of subtraction. Sheva l'sheva chakiris, those are the 7 chakiris of our Mishnah. Dal plas the gzeirah shava, and take away 3, those 3 hate tapes. Why is that? Like the Gemara said, we needed legufe. We needed to go and do the counting of the 7. So if you're going to go and say that they're mufna, l'chayr, we should subtract them. But we're not. We're saying that they're 7 altogether. So therefore, we're going to subtract them from the 11. We start off with 11, take off 7 for the 7 chakiris. We take off 3 for the gzeir shov, the 3 heitevs. Pashlu choda, now we're going to be left with 1. So what do we do with that 1? L'Reb Shimon! L'asuya nisrafen, that's according to Reb Shimon that says, I don't know nisrafen from niskalim, because after all, it's more kal, it's not more chomer. So how would I know? So therefore I have to only forget, according to Reb Shimon, nisrafen is more chomer than niskalim. By niskalim, we try to give them 7 opportunities to get off the hook, but nisrafen maybe wouldn't give them that opportunity, because they're much more chomer. So that's what I need that extra 1 for, to tell you the sin of the 7 chakiris. Now that's according to Rabban. What about a kohen? That's according to Reb Shimon. What about loy to Rabban? Rabban looks at the aspect of v'chaymetar because of lakra. Even though we don't need it because we already had 7 and we have all these drushes, nevertheless, the Torah sometimes writes it down. Nevertheless, I don't need the nisraf. I could learn the nisraf from niskolim v'kal v'chaymet. But Torah is matriach to write it, even though I could have learned it with the kal v'chaymet. Megadif bo Rebavo. Although the word Megadif is a very strong term, yes, but basically what Rebavo means, he was dismissing all of this. He said, come on, give me a break. Since you're saying anyway, we start off with 11, and you're subtracting out the 3. So you're telling me that according to Reb Shimon, I'm going to learn from that a din of Nisrafim. And according to Rabbanan, I don't really need a tarf because of Lakra. Why don't we go and say a much simpler answer, that they're 8 chakirois, and therefore, don't just say 7 chakiris in the Mishnah, say 8. And now you're going to tell me, the Shmoyna chakiris mi ikka, what would be the 8th? We've covered the waterfront. We started from Shavua, and then Shana, and then Chodesh, and Day of the Week, and the Shoah, everything. What else can we add? So to my Loma Loi, v'ikka lasu yibikama v'shoah. The last of the 7, before we got to Mokkaim, was which Shoah in the day? Was it the 3rd hour, the 4th hour? We can ask, within the 3rd hour, was it 3:15? Was it 3:30? Was it 3:45? In other words, how many minutes? We didn't discuss that. So l'chayr, that would be number 8. In fact, we have a braisa. That in fact it were 8 and not 7. So why are you telling me 7 and saying that that final one I'm using later, Reb Shimon, to tell you this rough? Or kunchabanan miltzach abayma tarvikas l'akra. Why don't we learn 8 like the braisa taka says? What would be the 8th? Like we just said, what minute of the hour? What does one mean to say? The Gemara is not really going into any depth over here. It's referring to a Gemara Masechtas Pesachim. The reason why the Gemara talks about Pesachim, because they're talking about Erev Pesach and the Gabi Chometz, and then the Gemara goes off a little bit on a tangent and talks about Taka Hilchis Eidus. So what does it say over there in the Gemara? That that a person doesn't make a mistake even for a moment. In other words, he knows exactly if he says 9:33 was 9:33. Or if you're going to tell me that a person makes a toys of a mash, okay, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. So it's very good why we have that eighth chakira to ask him, no, tell me what time. You're telling me it was b'sholish shoyz. Sholish shoyz could mean 9 o'clock. Sholish shoyz could mean 9:10, could be 9:15, 9:20, 9:25. Tell me. So that's why we need an Eif Chakir. A person can make a mistake even up to half an hour. In other words, he says, I think it happened at 9 o'clock. It really happened at 9:30. Remember, they didn't have wristwatches, so it's just based on looking at the horizons, or maybe they had some sort of sand clocks of some sort. So it's easy to go and make it. They didn't have digital that says exactly 9:33 and 45 seconds. So you can be toya chatisha, the rabbi diyam toya inchi tuva. Person makes a toys even more than that. So ibazoi, how do you know that there are only seven, and then you're attributing the other one to either the skila or that milta da asbe kava chaymer? Maybe it's coming to tell you that. And from the Gemara, elasuye bekama biyovel, they could not add an eighth one dealing with be'ezisha, in other words bekama bisha, but they could add be'ezishavua. Elasuye bekama biyovel. Now, for example, bekama biyovel sounds like which year in the yovel. That was the first of the seven chakiris that we asked, which Shemitah cycle within the Yovel cycle? Are we in the first Shemitah cycle, the second Shemitah cycle? So, Kama Yovel, that's Beze Shavua. Which Yovel are we talking about? Because today we don't know what the Yovel is, how many there were, or when they were.
Which century?
Exactly. Which century and which half a century, etc. Once he says which Shemitah cycle within the Yovel, obviously he knows which Yovel we're talking about, so it's unnecessary. So
there's no statute of limitations?
And not for purpose of testimony. The testimony is to go and tell us, when did this happen? Did it happen in 1943? Did it happen even today in the secular? It used to be that when you gave the date of your birth, or date of whatever, then you would just say for the year, you had two digits, right? Two digits, huh? Month, date, and year. Nowadays, you always have four digits at the end.
That's called the Y2K problem.
Y2K?
Yeah, because they originally computers were just one digit for the 70s and two digits for the decade. And then in the 25 years ago, when the computers had trouble with four digits, some of them weren't properly programmed. Huh. So now everything's standardized for that reason.
Okay. Very good.
Four digit year now.
And comma is a little difficult. With Yovel. Mm-hmm. Of course it's not 50 years ago.
Right. Okay, how old are the people? The people are 40-some years old. They didn't exist.
So the type of questions you're asking, the more is going to address right now. Remember in the Mishnah we said seven chakirs, and Rabbi Yossi said only three chakirs. Tanya, Omer lehem Rabbi Yossi chacham, l'devreichem, according to you, Mishabo v'omar emesh harogai. What happens if somebody comes into Bezin on Monday morning, he says, I want you to know, I have terrible, terrible news. Yesterday, I saw the following situation. I saw that somebody killed somebody, someone did avoid the Zora, whatever it was. So, Oymoloi, are we going to start asking, oh, it happened yesterday. Tell me, Be'ezah Shavua, which year of the Shavua of the
Shemitah cycle?
Shemitah of the Yovel cycle? Be'ezah Shana, which year of the Shemitah cycle? Be'ezah Chodesh, which month? Be'kam Chodesh, which day of the month? What is nonsense? He said yesterday. So, of course, the only thing you need is the three that the Yossi enumerated in our Mishnah. Be'ezah Yoim, which day of the week it was. Be'ezah Shah, what time of the day it was. Be'ezah Malkam, and where did this take place? And finish. You don't need all this elaborate seven questions. So Yossi is trying to be very, very practical. So the Gemara says, Amrulai, so the Chacham responded to Yossi, L'dvarech, according to you, instead of talking about yesterday, Mishabavi Amar Achshav Harogai. What happens if he rushes the Bezin? He's out of breath. Oh, you don't know what I just saw. I'm terrified. It's terrible. It's Geferlich. What happened? I just saw Nebuch. Somebody did avoid the Zara. Or I just saw somebody go and shoot someone. So, are we going to start asking him, which day did it take place? Beis Hashor, what hour? Beis Hamakom. If you just ran in and you said it just happened, so you don't have to ask him any of the seven chakirs. Elav, even though you don't need all of these questions, Raminim Le, we put it on him. We force him to answer at least your three questions, Rabbi Yossi. Can Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar? Who's Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar? Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar said earlier on in Masechta that Masiyan Esa Edim Imokim Lemokim Kadesha Titrav Daitan Ale. When the Edim come in, we say to them, you know, before you say your Edis, Let's go from here. Let's assume you're
Shpatir.
Shpatir, and let's go around the block and come back and go forth, and especially if it's icy, make sure you don't slip, etc., etc. And you dream a cup for an hour or two until you get him to go and say Eidus. Why do you do that, Kondrib Shimon Elazar? Because you're hoping that as a result, the person will say, you know, either Mali the Tzur Hazois, or Kadesh Titrav Dat and Lim is going to become a Bislav Fadrait, and he may not be able to say the testimony properly. We're trying whatever we can to go and acquit the accused. So says Imar, Avgalei the Torah, Ramin Nalei, even you agree, Reb Yossi, that these three questions are unnecessary if he runs into Bez and says, I just saw this a minute ago. But why do we go and say the three? We want to go and try to intimidate him somewhat. Hachanami Avgalei Torah, even though Yitaka don't need all seven, Ramin Nalei, Reb Shimon Elazar, you go and throw it on him like Reb Shimon Elazar. And therefore that answers your question, Mendi Legabi, which Shavua? Because say, Nachanami, it's not necessary. We just want a titch of dital of, he starts, what, you're asking me such a question? Which Yoivel, which Shavua, in the Yoivel? Now, give me a chance, I have to think about it. Yoivel, I haven't thought about how many Yoivels have been in a long time.
I haven't thought about Yoivel in the Yoivel.
Beautiful.
Why couldn't it have been it's the second year of the Yovel cycle, and it could have been, you know, the previous was only a couple of years or even a year ago. So it was
and what happened to us 49 years ago?
Pardon?
What happened to 49 years ago?
So 49 or 50
right,
years.
But I'm saying you could ask him what Yovel was, because the Yovel could have just happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so was it, it's one of these questions, was it this Yovel or was it, a year ago?
So that's what the other man Yama said, that could be question number 8. Become a Yovel, Beis Yovel. What is her blood? The Chacham have a good point. You know, just like you said, it may have happened yesterday, maybe it happened today. So why are you saying you need the three questions? If it happened today, you don't need any questions. That happens. But it is that there has been some time interval since whatever the tragic event was, and the time that the person comes into Bezer, the next day, a week later, whatever. But Achshav Aroga, that it happened 5 seconds ago, that's very, very uncommon, and so therefore, infrequent, therefore we're not choshev for that. Okay, Makirim Atem Oisai. We're going to move to the bottom of the Yomid, and then we'll mention continue tonight. Makirim Atem Oisai. Back in the Mishnah, we had, do you recognize him? Turn about Makirim Atem Oisai, Nochri Harag Yisrael Harag. Can you tell me a little bit more about what happened? Who was the victim? Was it a Nochri? Was it a Yisrael? Yisrael Simboi, did you give him Asra? And if you did, Kibbul Olav Asra, was he Makabal the Asra on himself? In other words, anytime you give Asra, the person has to go and say, yes, Yadiani, I know, but I'm going to do it anyway. Hiter Atzmoi Lemisa, you have to go and tell him that this is not just Stam Hasra, that you're going to get punished. You should know if you're going to do this Hasra, you're going to get a Misa. And we had a Machloikis earlier in our Masech, that you have to tell him the specific Misa, just general Misa. But he has to say, yes, I know I'm going to go and get Misa. Yes, yes. If Haim is Betrei Kedei Dibur, was he Mamis within Kedei Dibur of the Hasra? It has to be 1, 2, 3 after Hasra. Bang, bang. Because if it happens 10 seconds later, or whatever, during that period of time, says Rashi, maybe he forgot that he had Lasra. It's got to be that it's still Lasra is alive in his mind, and he says, I don't care.
But in the case of a chaver who doesn't need Hasra,
we'll talk about it as well. Okay. But that's well for today, we're not getting into that.
Okay.
Or even Avodah Zarah. What happens to a person who did Avodah Zarah? So then we ask him different questions. Esmi Ovad, who was the, which Avodah Zarah was it? Was it the Par Ovad, the Markulius Ovad? Which one? Ubame Ovad, how did you do it? Did he put the Zibuch for Kitur? Benesuch Mishtach Avah. What was the form of that Avodah Zarah that he did? Omer Ula, Minay Lasro Menatoyr. How do I know that there's a Chiv of Asro Menatoyr? Shem, it says, Abos V'isha Sheikach Esachoyse Bas Oviv Oivas Imoy V'ro'o Es Ervosa. This pasuk is, of course, in the parsha of Haroyes, and it's talking about that if Chas V'Shalom, a person went and he lived with his own sister, what we would call incest. Now, the Lashon HaPasuk is very, very genteel. V'ro es ervasa. We're not talking about re'iyah, otam re'iyah talia milzah. We're not talking about that. We're talking about that they actually lived together. So why does the Torah use the expression v'ro es ervasa? El ad shiyir uhu taimu shel davar. It means that he sees exactly what he's being over, what he's violating. How does he see it? Because we are warning him, we're telling him, mister, what you're doing is incest, and chas v'shalom, it's going to be misa, and then ramabab, and he listens to every single word. So that's the word re'ia, that he has a full understanding as to what the consequences are. Now, the din of a person living with his sister, there is no misa bidei odam. It's misa bidei shemoyim in the form of karis. It may in the karis, as far as any aver that requires karis, there's no need for the hasra, because says Rashi, I know the Kaddish Baruch Hu is the one that's meeting out justice, knows what's in his mind, if he's doing it b'shogig or b'mesid, so I don't really need it for this parasha. Therefore, the parasha is coming to tell you for the other Yisurim, that if Chas V'Shalom, a person did something that required Malkus, you have to go and give him the full Hasra, and if he listens and nevertheless he violates, then he goes and gets the Malkus. Stop over here, Rabbi Yisai.